Good evening. It's great to be here. I was talking to Roy before. It's been a long time since we've been here, and it's a lot of great memories of this congregation. I was sitting out here looking at that field. I remember several times playing football out there in that field with a lot of guys. There's a lot of great memories here, and it's great to be here with you this evening. And also want to say thank you very much for what you have done and helping us in school, the encouragement, the support you have given us. We could not have done it without you. We thank you for that. We live in a crazy time right now. I mean, everybody knows that. We've got the COVID, a lot of political stuff going on, social unrest, and it causes a lot of worry and stress in a person's life. There was a study done, this was last year in 2019, that found that 75% of adults deal with moderate to high levels of stress every day. And also another study found that 45% of adults say that they deal with worry every day. There's a lot of things that can cause us worry. There's a lot of things that can cause us stress. And Paul deals with worry in Philippians chapter 4. Which is where we're going to be this evening. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 13. We're going to notice some things that Paul deals with in talking about worry, and talking about stress, and how we can overcome that. Go with me to Philippians 4 and verse 4 to start with. We're going to notice the reason for joy. Verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." This is a verse we all know. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul uses that emphasis twice. Rejoice and rejoice. Why? Because we have a lot of reasons to rejoice, to be joyful. Think about who is writing this. Paul. Where was Paul when he wrote this passage? In prison. For a person to have this much joy, Paul was one that could have looked down on a lot of things, been negative about his life, things that were going on, but Paul had many reasons to rejoice, and he therefore says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." That phrase, "in the Lord," that is a very interesting phrase. It is found 46 times in the New Testament. I want to look at a couple phrases that are places that is found. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, and start in verse 30. We know the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is there was a lot of divisions. In verse 13, there was those that said, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ." Paul says, "Is Christ divided?" No. There was a lot of division going on. And look at verse 30. It says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." He is saying, you are in Christ. You have wisdom. Wisdom there is talked about as higher wisdom, the wisdom we find in the scriptures here. Wisdom, righteousness. Righteousness is justification. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we are justified by faith. The example in chapter 4 was shown of Abraham and is an obedient faith. We are justified. We are sanctified. Sanctified is set apart. Set apart from the world. We are a chosen people. Those that are the royal priesthood in Christ. And we are redeemed. The word there, interesting enough, if you look in the dictionary, it means to a ransom paid in full. We have been bought back. Paul is saying, you are trying to glory in yourself and the things that you are doing. But Paul says, you are justified. You are sanctified. You are redeemed. Therefore, verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We have great reason to rejoice that we are Christians. Because we are redeemed. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15 now. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Starting back in verse 55, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't it great to know that the work that we do, the things that we do for the Lord, are not in vain? We have victory in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, it talks about we are the light in the Lord. In a world of confusion, we are the light. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it tells us to be strong in the Lord, putting on the whole armor of God. We have strength in the Lord. We can trust in the Lord as Paul did in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. When you put all these things together, we notice that Paul tells us we have great reason to rejoice. No matter what our situation is in life, where we are, what things are going on and around us, we can rejoice because we're Christians, because we are in the Lord. Paul, in prison, not knowing what could happen to him, he could die, he could be beaten again, whatever could happen to him, he knew he could rejoice because he was in the Lord. Go back to Philippians 4. Notice verse 5. Philippians 4 and verse 5 says, Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Think about that phrase, the Lord is at hand. What does it mean when something's right at hand? It's close by. It's near. Paul had comfort in knowing the Lord was near, was close by. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord is near. To those that are Christians, that's a great comfort, isn't that? Isn't it? For someone that's not in Christ, the Lord being at hand is not a good thing. But it is for us. Therefore, we have reason to joy. But notice verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. We notice there was a reason for worry. There was those that worried, and Paul deals with that in verse 6. It says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When we do have worries, when we have stresses in our life, we can take those things and lay them on the Lord. We can pray to Him and let our requests be made known unto Him. It says, Be careful for nothing. That word is used in other places. I want us to read Matthew chapter 6 to get a full understanding of what be careful for nothing means. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. It says, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. There's our word, no thought. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than raiment? Go to verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye therefore for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. The idea of careful, being careful for nothing, means to be pulled in different directions, to distract. This is a person that this over here worries us. This over here worries us. We have so many things that cause us worry that we're pulled in different directions. That's what this word is being used here to define to us, to show us that we are not to be pulled to and fro, here and there, being worried about our food, our raiment, because we're in the Lord. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, those things that was just mentioned by our Lord, be added unto you. We do not need to worry where our food and our raiment are going to come from, because our Lord will take care of us. Go over to Luke chapter 10. Another example of this word. Luke chapter 10. and look at verse, the end of chapter 10, and starting in verse 38, with Mary and Martha. Notice it says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha," notice Martha, "was cumbered about much serving, and he came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.'" So the difference in Mary and Martha, Mary notices what's going on. She notices the Lord is there. She sits at his feet and listens. But what is Martha doing? Martha's worried about the house. She's worried about the servant. She's worried about all these things. She's pulled from to and fro. She's going from there to there, trying to do all these things, busy, and she's worried and stressed. And she goes, "Lord, are you not worried about what my sister Martha is doing?" What did Jesus answer? Verse 41. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.'" There's our word. Martha was pulled from here to there. She was stressed. All these things around her caused her stress to where she lost focus of what was really important, that her Lord was there. She just sit at his feet and to learn. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, says, "Do not be like Martha, who is pulled to and fro, not worried about everything, being stressed about things that are all around us. A person in this state will have great stress and worry." Go back to Philippians 4. Notice one thing about what Paul said here. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." In everything. What does everything mean? Everything means the good and the bad, doesn't it? We are to go to our Lord when things are tough, when we have stress and worry in our life, but also in the good things. What did Paul just say? You have many reasons to rejoice. Go to our Lord and thank him for those things. But sometimes what happens? Do we sometimes only go to the Lord when things are tough? Maybe that shows that we are always thinking negative. Maybe we need to look more to the positive. Therefore, we need to transform our minds. Notice what Paul does in the next passage. Go to verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." We have to transform our mind. To have that joy, that rejoicing that Paul has, we have to transform our mind. Paul gives us that recipe. That recipe is thinking on things that are true. What does it mean to be what is true? True is sincere, free from deceit. We live in a world where there's a lot of false information. And what does that false information cause us to do? If we're listening to this information and this information, it causes us to stress and worry about what's really right, what's really true. It causes stress and worry. But when we focus on what is true, that goes away. What is the truest thing we can focus on? The Word of God. Focus on what is true. What is honest? The word honest means honorable, worthy of respect. We need to focus our minds on honest things. Disgraceful things can cause anxiety and stress in our life. Think on honest things. Think on things that are just. The word just here has a it means in our relationship with one another. If we're not just with our relationships with another person, does that cause stress? Worrying about maybe they'll find out what we did if we weren't right with them? if we had not treated them the way that they should have been treated? That causes stress. Therefore, think on just things. Be righteous to other men, to God. Think on pure things. Pure things is talking about clean, moral, upright. The opposite of pure is deceitful, dirty, profane, and wicked. If our thoughts are not pure, it causes stress in our life. It causes worry. Think on things that are lovely. Lovely there is pleasing in how we treat others, having true love for others. When we're always thinking about the good things in others, does that take away the stress in our life? If we have negative thoughts about others, it'll cause a great amount of stress. Good report, well spoken of, striving to live a life where we have a good report with others. Virtue is moral excellence, striving to be morally excellent in all of our life. And then the final one is praise. What happens when we focus on praising others? When we go around praising others instead of putting them down. When we do all of these things, Paul is saying, when we put all of these things together, we transform our mind, things change. Our focus in life changes. We can strive to have true joy. We can rejoice that we are in the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. There is a great reward in having a transformed mind. Go to verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. True peace. We have true peace and we have that transformed mind. Notice it said the God of peace in verse 9. When you put the word God of blank, what does that mean? It's superior. The greatest peace we can ever have. What is that peace? It was found in verse 7. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through the Lord Jesus." This peace that we have, it's hard to explain. I cannot stand up here and explain to you how great this peace is. It's one you have to experience. It's that peace that comes when the worry and stress in your life, whatever may be going on, you can take that stress, you can take that worry and lay it on the shoulders of Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Think about what it feels like to take that stress and to put it on the Lord. It brings us true peace. Paul knew what that peace felt like. And he strived, he begged that the Philippians would have that same peace. The God of peace. Therefore, because Paul had that peace, he was content. Look what he said in verse 11. "Now that I speak, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." No matter what state Paul was at in his life, if he was in prison, if he had just got done being beaten, he says, "I have learned to be content. I have learned to have peace." He knew that he would overcome. He looked past that moment. He looked past that time that things were going on in his life and knew that the reward was greater than what was going on in his life at that time. Think about the things that Paul was going through. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And look at verse 23. It's a list that we have read probably many times. 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak boldly. I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwrecked. At night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and a thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Paul went through a lot in his life, didn't he? But Paul could say, he could write to the Philippians and say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Paul rejoiced because he was in the Lord. He knew that reward at the end of his life was great. Paul had joy. Think about Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 51, Isaiah has just got done seeing all these visions of the things that's going on, that's going to happen to the Israelites, the captivity that's coming, the captors, how Babylon's going to come in and destroy Jerusalem. He's seen all this. You can imagine what's going through his mind. And in chapter 51, he asks the question, what's going to happen? Why? Why is this happening? And paraphrasing, God asks him this, "Isaiah, who is in control of the captors?" God is. "Isaiah, who is in control of this world?" God is. "Isaiah, why are you worried?" That same thing could be asked to us today. Who's in control of our country? God is. Who's in control of this world? God is. Why are we worried? Paul knew God was in control. Paul had peace. Paul had joy. So no matter what is going on in this world around us, the things that may cause us stress and worry, we can know that the Lord is in control. And that brings us peace. That brings us joy. Where are you at today? As a Christian, we have great reason to joy. We have salvation. We have redemption. We have been bought back. We are justified. We are sanctified. We are set apart. We have great reason to joy. When things are tough, when we have worries that come into our life, stress, we can lay it upon the shoulders of our Lord. We have a transformed mind. We focus on the positive things of this life. Focus on the good things. Therefore, we don't worry. We don't become pulled to and fro as we've talked about with Martha. And therefore, our reward is great peace. Do you have that peace? If not, please make that change today. If you're not a Christian, you do not have redemption. You do not have sanctification. You're not justified. You don't have that peace. You don't have that opportunity to pray to the Lord to lay those things upon his shoulders. That stress, that worry is still on you. You don't have the great reward, the great peace that passes all understanding. If you're not a Christian, make that change today. The only way you can have that peace is it said in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. You have to be in the Lord. To do that, you have to be baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. Follow that plan of salvation. To hear Romans 10 and verse 17. To believe Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. to repent of your sins, have a true repentance, as 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 says. 2, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, and to be baptized into Christ, to have your sins washed away, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And we've done that. You can have great peace. You can have great joy in the Lord. As Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 states, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Where are you at today? If you're not a Christian, please, I pray you do it now as we stand and as we sing.